Exodus 20, verse number 8. If you have a King James Bible, we're going to read together in unison. If you see someone does not have a Bible, please share with them your Bible. There should be a King James Bible in the pews there, in each pew. Exodus 20, verse number 8. Let's read together, shall we? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Now, dear God, please meet with us. I pray, dear Holy Spirit, that you teach us the Word of God this morning and help us to learn something maybe we never realized before. Help us to learn a truth. Help us to revisit a truth. Help us to nail it down. And, Lord, help us to realize the importance of this verse we're about to read this morning and study. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As most of you have found out, last week's sermon was not recorded, and thus it wasn't put online for anyone to listen to. I said Wednesday evening that it was either because of our ineptitude or God's sovereign veto power not to air the message that you heard last Sunday to go online. But I tried to give both barrels last Sunday morning. You're going to have to wait till eternity to hear it again if you ever want to hear it. What I'm saying to you this morning is you ought to listen well, because you never know which, if any, of these sermons are going to be recorded, and this one in particular. Secondly, I want to publicly commend you folks that have been recently saved and baptized and still coming to church. And I emphasize the word still coming to church, because you've heard quite a mouthful from me the last few months, especially Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. Would have chased out most the average individual. It seems for whatever reason that I've preached on some very controversial issues that are only controversial, I believe, to those who don't read their King James Bibles. Last Sunday morning was definitely one of those rare sermons. I preach a Sunday evening sermon during the Sunday morning time slot. And though last Sunday would be considered preaching, this morning is going to be a Bible study. But no less controversial, to be quite honest with you. I'm sure if you love the King James Bible, as we go through this Bible study this morning and tonight, you're going to enjoy this Bible study. You're going to learn a Bible truth, and you're going to learn what Baptists have always believed since the day that John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the River Jordan. So let's start. Let's begin. The Sabbath. It's a subject that has been a topic of great discussion among a lot of people who claim to love and read the King James Bible. The questions include, what day of the week are we supposed to meet? You've heard that question. Or what is the Sabbath? And what was the purpose of the Sabbath? And what are we allowed to do on the Sabbath? And there are a lot of other questions concerning, I want to say, the doctrine of the Sabbath. And I say doctrine because you'll understand why it's such an important doctrine by the time I'm done tonight. The best way to answer this question, all those other questions, is to see what God says. I really do not care what men say. I do not care what religious leaders say or what books say, unless they can point to scriptures to prove a doctrine or a principle in this book that God wants us to learn and believe and obey. I don't usually do this, but I'm going to give you 10 points right off the bat of what I'm going to be talking about this morning and tonight concerning the Sabbath. So as we go through the Bible verses, you will be aware of these principles as we read the Bible verses. Number one, the Sabbath was and still is a commandment from God Almighty for everyone. Number two, the Sabbath was for the Jews as a sign between Jehovah God and his chosen people, the Israelites. Number three, the Sabbath was not a day of worship. It was and is a day of rest. Number four, the Sabbath was and is the seventh day of the week. It always has been, always will be. Number five, the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts are transitional books that brings us from the Old Testament Jewish age to and overlap into the New Testament church age. Number six, it does not matter what day of the week we have church, Saturday or Sunday, or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. The church in the book of Acts had church every day of the week. Number seven, Sunday is not the Lord's day. The Lord's day, that those two words are only mentioned one time in the entire Bible. It's found in Revelation 1:10. And John was talking about the day of the Lord, the coming tribulation, the judgment of God Almighty on this world that has rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior. Number 8. The Sabbath will be reintroduced during the tribulation period when the focus is on Israel again, when the church age has ended with the blessed hope of Revelation 4:1, and when the church age saints are raptured at the trumpet sound. Number 9, every person has broken the Sabbath. Number 10, you keep the Sabbath by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. When a person trusts Christ as their Savior, they have ceased from their works and have now rested in Jesus alone for salvation. I said a whole mouthful there, but we're going to go through the Bible verses now. Let's read starting with Exodus chapter number 20. You'll understand that the common perverted meaning of the Sabbath today was originally from the Romish church, the Catholic church, passed down to the Protestants. And unfortunately, too many Baptists have swallowed it, because Baptists have sent their preacher boys and students to Protestant colleges who picked up Protestant theology that came from the Catholics. Exodus 20, verse number 8, please. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter. This is the Ten Commandments, by the way. Nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Take your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 35, please. I'm sorry, Exodus 31, next chapter over. I'm sorry, Exodus 31, 11 chapters over. Exodus 31, verse number 13. Verse 12, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths, and it wasn't just necessarily the Saturday, the Sabbath, but there were also holy days, high Sabbaths that were in addition to the Saturdays that were the Jewish Sabbath. He says, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. That's quite a statement for God to say. If you break the Sabbath, you deserve to die. For whosoever doeth any work therein, any work, thou shalt be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of what? Rest. Holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations. Watch this, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Well, let's go read Genesis chapter number 2 right now. Genesis 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now that's the first inference of the Sabbath. Even the word Sabbath is not mentioned in Genesis 2. That is obviously the Sabbath there where God instituted. 6 days he worked, The seventh day he rested. We come to Exodus 20 and Exodus 31, and take your Bible, turn to Leviticus 23. And so God commands his people to do the exact same thing, to rest from their work. And the Israelites were supposed to work, Leviticus 23. The Israelites were supposed to work 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they were supposed to rest. It was not a day of worship. Let me remind you, you're supposed to worship God every single day, ladies and gentlemen. It's a Catholic theology that teaches that you live like the devil from Monday to Sunday morning, then go to do some penance or confession or do some rosary or pray and take a mass and take the wafer, and then you're right with God, and then go out that building and go live like the devil. That's Catholic theology. You and I are supposed to worship God 24/7 all the time, inside a building or outside a building, in the midst of a congregation or a church setting, or outside the midst of a congregation or church setting. You don't come here to worship. You come here to hear preaching and teaching and to learn more about Jesus and learn more about the Word of God. And that's what's happening this morning, by the way. That's what every sermon ought to be for, to teach you more about the Word of God, teach you more about Jesus, or to encourage you and to lift up God. Amen. Leviticus 23, verse number 3. Here's what God says. 6 days shall work be done, and the seventh day is a Sabbath of what? Rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your what? Dwellings. Take your Bible, please, and turn to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Again, I say this is a Bible study. Isaiah 58. You're going to find out by the time we're done here this morning why you ought to be a Baptist, amen? You're going to find out by the time we're done here why people hate Baptists. I'm telling you. Anybody that is pushing a work salvation hates somebody who preaches faith by grace through faith alone, because it tells them that their works are no good. There's no work you can do to go to heaven. You don't deserve to go to heaven. You're a sinner on your way to hell. And the only way to go to heaven is by asking Jesus Christ for mercy to save your soul. The Seventh Day Adventist is a works salvation. They may say the same kind of words and same kind of phrases. They may even sing Amazing Grace and other songs that we sing. It is a works salvation. Listen to me good. It's not by grace alone, ladies and gentlemen. Isaiah 58, verse number 13. Here's what God says about the Sabbath. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and shall call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Again, these are all verses to God's people. These are all promises to God's people, the Israelites. And what happens a lot of times, Catholics and Protestants have tried to piggyback on this doctrine of let's keep the Sabbath as if Sunday is a Sabbath. First of all, Sunday is the first day of the week, all right? It's not the seventh day. And I don't know who came up and said that Sunday is the Lord's Sabbath. You won't find it in the Bible anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. So far from the truth, that is not a Bible doctrine. Sunday, we meet on Sundays for basically one reason. We meet on Sundays because the Catholic Church, when they were formed in the year 312, 315 AD, they were worshiping the sun god, S-U-N, not S-O-N, the son of God. They worshiped the sun, S-U-N. And their day was on Sunday, because that's what Sunday means, to worship the sun, S-U-N. So what day, that's why if you go to Catholic Church and you see them take that wafer, you know what they put it in? They put it in a big old sun that has rays in it. And so they still had the vestiges of their Baal worship and sun worship. Their sun god was born on December 25th. Don't blame me. I'm just telling you what history says. Their sun god that they believed in was born on December 25th. They worshiped the sun, S-U-N, God. So what happened when Constantine saw a vision, the emperor Constantine, 312, 315, I can't remember the year right now. He saw a vision. He was a pagan. He saw this vision in the sky. He was at war doing battle against somebody. He saw this vision of a cross in the sky. And he says, he saw in Latin written under it or over it, in this sign, conquer. That's why supposedly Constantine was made a Christian at that point. If you're made a Christian at that point, you're like Adolf Hitler Christian. You're no more a Christian than a nail on a piece of wood. That doesn't make you a Christian because you saw some vision or some dream or you heard some voice. What makes you a child of God is trusting Jesus Christ to wash your sins away and make you a child of God by trusting in his word to save your soul. Not a vision, not a dream, not something else. So what happened, Constantine took all his pagan soldiers, and that's why he put crosses on them, because he saw the sign of the cross. And then, hence, you have all the crusades, you know, trying to take over the promised land, the land of Israel, the land of Palestine. And there are battles between the Muslims and Constantine, between Rome and the Arabs. And so what happened is, Constantine, because he was a pagan, he had all his troops, all his soldiers, become automatically Christian. That's so far from the truth, ladies and gentlemen. How can a pagan, on the order of a Constantine of the emperor, become a Christian? You can't. But what he did, he mixed both the state and the church. I put that in quotes. And now what you have is the first church state. So what you have is now the church and the state together, Constantine being ruling the head of the church. And that's when persecution of the Christians started. And that's when, either before or after, they went into the catacombs to hide. They were butchered. They were slaughtered. They were martyred. So you have to understand, Sunday is not a day of worship. And Sunday is not the Lord's Day. The only reason we have church on Sunday, because this country, when it started, was settled by Baptists and Protestants, picked up Sunday as a day of worship. And it was easier to acclimate to having church on Sunday because all the business closed down because of Protestantism, so influenced our country. Everybody was closed. There was nobody working on Sunday, so Baptists decided to have church on Sunday. But we can have church on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Saturday. It doesn't matter. You'll see in the Bible, it doesn't matter what day you have church on. It is a Catholic Protestant theology that teaches that you have to have church on a Sunday. And high noon is their time where they worship their son, S-U-N, God. Numbers chapter 15, please. And here's how strong God thinks about this, about breaking the Sabbath. Numbers chapter 15. If you do any work at all on the Sabbath, you're supposed to be stoned to death. Numbers chapter 15, verse number 32. Numbers 15, verse number 32. Is baptism a work? Isn't it? Yeah, it's a work. So for the Church of Christ or anybody, any denomination, Pentecostal, Charismatic, I don't care who they are, if they say you have to be baptized in order to be saved, that is a work. You're adding a work to what Jesus already did. When you get saved, you have rested from all your work that you were trying to do to go to heaven. When you get saved, you enter into Jesus Christ, who is the Sabbath, who is our rest, and we have ceased from all our work. I am not going to go to heaven because I'm a pastor, and I am not going to go to heaven because I'm a Baptist, and I'm not going to go to heaven for any other reason other than in November of 1978, I asked Jesus Christ to save my soul from hell. That's it. I could close my Bible, walk out of here, and I'm still saved on my way to heaven, amen? I could never walk inside a Baptist church, and I'm still saved on go to heaven. Now, that's not very popular today because nobody wants anybody to leave a church. But what's true today is you have a lot of false brethren saying that you're not really saved if you don't do A, B, C, or D. Oh, let's see what happened when somebody worked on the Sabbath. Numbers chapter 15 and verse number 32. While the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said, here's what God said, unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp, and all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses. You say, that's really mean, Pastor. Well, that's how That's what God thinks about your salvation. Salvation is free and clear to a child of God who has asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior. You can get mad at my sermon this morning, tonight, Wednesday night, whenever I preach something, and you can walk out and never come back, but if you're born again, you're going to go to heaven when you die. Because you getting mad and disobeying anything else matters nothing for your salvation. Absolutely nothing. Because Jesus paid it all. Jesus did all the work. And there's nothing I can do. I'm just resting in Jesus Christ right now. But if you miss a sermon like this, it'll mess up your thinking. Because when you read Exodus 20, verse number 8, and then you talk to a Seventh-day Adventist or a Seventh-day Baptist like we have them in Petersburg or Berlin, you're going to say, well, why do you have church on Sabbath? And, well, the Bible says keep the Sabbath. And because you don't read your Bible, you're going to let somebody who's off on a tangent somewhere who takes one or two verses out of context to show you, well, we ought to be meeting on Saturdays because you don't even read your Bible. Colossians chapter number 2, please. I'm sorry, you know what? Before we go there, let's go to John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5. My points were in order, but my sermon may not be. John chapter number 5. The Gospel of John chapter number 5. And you can't get much clearer than this. John chapter number 5. Verse number 16. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, watch this, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them. Now, this is a very interesting statement. We bypass this a lot, but look what it says. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. That's a very interesting statement. By the way, you and I ought to be working. We ought to work out our salvation. We ought to be working for Jesus Christ, not for our salvation. We ought to work out our salvation. That means I can prove my faith by my works. Let me ask you a question. What are you doing for God? Huh? What have you done this week for God? What have you done last month for God? What have you given? Hey, some of you ought to thank God that we have about 5 or 10 people that tithe and give here to support this church, while most of the other people are too stinking lazy to get a job and pitch in and help. Huh? See, our society is built on people being, now we're rewarding people that are lazy today. Nobody wants to work for God. But you have to separate salvation by grace and entering the Sabbath separate from the work of God. Jesus said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work also, he said. Now watch this in verse number 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Watch this. Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Let's repeat it one more time. Therefore the Jews sought, don't forget all these verses that we read in the Old Testament, Genesis 2, Exodus 20, Exodus 31, Leviticus, Isaiah. I mean, you're not supposed to kindle a fire in your dwelling place. You better hope it didn't get cold in Israel, amen. Huh? You are not allowed to leave. Listen, you are not allowed to go further than 3,000 feet from your home, from your dwelling place. 2,000 cubits was the law of the Jewish law. You couldn't leave more than 2,000 cubits from your dwelling place. You couldn't go further than that because it was a day of rest, not a day of worship. You're supposed to stay home and rest. And by the way, I'm not against a day of rest. If you want to rest on Sunday, that's your business. If you want to rest on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday, whenever you want to, you go ahead and rest. I'm just telling you, the Sabbath is not a day of worship. Now watch this here. Read it again. It says, the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but also that God was his father, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. The Word of God is very clear that God says, not the Pharisees, God says that Jesus broke the Sabbath. It is not only that the Jews thought he had broken the Sabbath, and it's not only that the Jews thought that Jesus was making himself God or equal with God. The Word of God says that Jesus did, in fact, break the Sabbath, and that Jesus himself was making himself equal with God, just like Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 says, to the consternation of Jehovah's false witnesses and the Seventh-day Adventists, Jesus broke the Sabbath, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm amazed how many people will follow some doctrine of a religious group or some leader that only pulls one or two verses out of context to base their entire theology on. You're going to read so many verses this morning, or especially tonight, that will leave you without a shadow of a doubt that the Seventh-day Adventist is nothing more than a work salvation, just like the Catholic Church, ladies and gentlemen. Just like any church or any denomination that teaches you have to do any work at all in order to be saved. Contrary to the very fourth commandment of God Almighty, thou shalt remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And the only way a person can keep the Sabbath today is by trusting Jesus Christ, who is holy. And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, but it's not your holiness, it's God's holiness. These folks who pin their entire theology on keeping the Sabbath day for church are violating the same scriptures they proclaim to believe that tells them they are not allowed to go more than 2,000 cubits from their dwelling place on the Sabbath. So I wonder, these Seventh-day Adventists and other people who believe that Saturday is the Sabbath, do they heat their homes on Saturday? Do they start their cars on Saturday? Do they wash themselves? Because in the Jewish law, you had to do everything on Friday. Friday is a day of preparation. Paraskevi is a Greek word for Friday, means to prepare, preparation. You do twice as much to get ready for Saturday. That means they took their showers and their baths, or they cleaned, or they did their cooking all on Friday to do twice as much to make up for Saturday. Well, do you cook on Saturdays? Do you clean on Saturdays? Do you wash on Saturdays? You had just violated what you claim to be the Sabbath of the Old Testament. Do you go further than 3,000 feet from your dwelling place? Do you put the heat up? That's a violation of Exodus 20, verse number 8, unless you're saved. That's the only way to keep the Sabbath. The only way. The hellish Pope and his heresies and a church that leads a billion people are ignorant of what the Bible teaches about their own religion. They have priests and incense and holy water and holy garments and a sanctuary and altars and all the trappings of the supposed Old Testament priestly ordinances. But where are the animal sacrifices that they had in the Old Testament then? And where are the burnt offerings of the Old Testament? And where's the slaying of the sheep and the slaying of the oxen? Take your Bible, turn to Colossians chapter number 2. It's a joke, ladies and gentlemen. It's a total joke. That kind of religion is for people who do not read their Bibles and do not know their Bibles. It's a comfortable religion for people that don't have a Bible or a preacher to preach against their sin to get them right with God. People would rather read men's books about the Bible, but not the Bible. People would rather read the Watchtower heresies instead of what God says. My Bible says that Jesus broke the Sabbath. All you have to do is read the Gospels, and you'll see how often, how many times Jesus was getting in trouble with the enemy, the priests and the scribes and the elders, because he and his disciples kept breaking the Sabbath and healing people on the Sabbath over and over again, all over the place. All four Gospels are filled with examples where they went through the cornfields, they're eating corn, they're healing the blind man and doing everything on the Sabbath day. You know why? Because Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, he said. He is the Sabbath. Colossians 2, verse number 14. Here's what happened at salvation. Here's what happened at the cross. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Jesus is the Lamb of God. That's why we don't sacrifice on altars lambs anymore. That was done away with. You know why? Because Jesus fulfilled all the priestly ordinances and all the laws, the Levitical laws that the priests had to offer goats and bulls and bullocks and sheep and lambs. That's all done away with. It's fulfilled with Jesus Christ because he's the Lamb of God. Now, all these religions, Greek Orthodox and Catholicism, if they believe that stuff, they should be sacrificing animals today. But they're not because they're a bunch of fake, phony, and frauds. They're fake. They're phronies. Look at this, verse number 15. Jesus nailed it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Watch this now. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the what? Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. That Sabbath, to keep it holy, was a picture of Jesus coming so that we could rest from our works, trying to work our way to heaven, But now we're resting in Jesus Christ for our salvation. He's our Sabbath. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. So the Sabbath was a picture of the shadow of things that was going to come, that was going to be fulfilled by Jesus Christ at the cross, ladies and gentlemen. Romans chapter number 14, please. Romans 14. Romans 14. Hey, are you saved? If you think you can lose your salvation, I ask you the question, are you really saved? If you think you can lose your salvation, you are working for your salvation. I don't care what denomination, I don't care if you're a Baptist or not. If you think you have to do something to keep it, you're still working for that salvation. It's not free and clear for you. You're still nervous. Oh, maybe if I blaspheme the Holy Ghost, or maybe if I say something, maybe if I do something, maybe I'm not really saved. You better check out yourself. I don't know if you're saved or not. God knows. Well, blessed be God. I've never had a thought in these 32 years whether I'm saved or not. I had a lot of thoughts about not doing right, living right, and being convicted by the Holy Ghost of God. But I'm telling you, I am saved. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You can't lose your salvation if you're saved, if you're a child of God. Now, if you're trapped in some kind of religion that teaches you better do this or you're not saved, I'd run out of there, man, as fast as I could. I get out of there as fast as I could. And you ever notice that the people who say that the Sunday is a Sabbath always use the word sanctuary for the room that they're meeting in? Sanctuary was done away with in the Old Testament, amen? Now, this may be a building and a temple, but it's an auditorium where people sit, amen? Right. Romans chapter 14, verse number 5. Well, let's verse number 5 and 6. One man esteemeth one day above another. All right, maybe you think Sunday's more important. Maybe you think Saturday's more important. I don't know. I think Wednesday's the most important day because that's payday for me, amen? My wife is really happy on Wednesdays. I can't figure it out. Every other Wednesday she's happy, amen? One man esteemeth one day above another. Another man esteemeth every day alike. To me, every day is the same to me. It doesn't matter. I'm telling you, we're just meeting today because it's convenient. That may not sound real religious, but it's convenient because that's how our society was built upon. On Protestant theology, that everybody closed down the shops and everything was closed on Sunday. So we went to church on Sunday because that's what everybody did. So it was easier to have church. But biblically speaking, you can have church any day you want. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. I mean, you can't get more clear than that than Colossians 2 and Romans chapter 14, that the day really doesn't matter anymore. Of course, these two verses were not in the Old Testament. The Sabbath was fulfilled at the cross of Jesus Christ because he's now the Lord of the Sabbath. And when you enter into Jesus, you now have rested from all your works for salvation. There's still a work to do, but for salvation, you've rested. Mark chapter number 2, please. Jesus said in verses 27, 28, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. He said, therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. That's found in the other Gospels also. The Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Here in Mark chapter number 2, Jesus telling the complaining Pharisees in verses 25 and 26, have you never read what David did when he had need? And wasn't hungered, he and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God, and in days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. The same story is in Matthew 12, verse 1 through 14. Jesus says, how he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat. Talking about King David before he was king, or maybe it was when he was on the run from Saul, I believe. Neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days, pay attention to what I'm going to say right now, on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless. So even, listen to me good, even in the Old Testament, while Exodus 28 was still in full force and effect, Jesus said that on the Sabbath days, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless. And he goes on to say, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. In Luke 13, verses 15 to 16, the Lord then answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" So these hypocrites who supposedly were trying to keep the Sabbath day were more concerned about their possessions than they were about their people. They're more concerned about their money, their livestock, than they were concerned about people being healed by God. And I'm telling you, the same kind of influence, the same kind of thinking has influenced Bible-believing churches. That's why, don't get mad at me this morning, that's why most people just show up on Sunday morning in your suit and tie and long dress and skirt with a Bible, and you think, here you are for God. And today, and you think in your mind, well, today's a day of rest, today's the Lord's day, it's a day of rest, it's a day of worship, and I'm just going to take it easy today. Well, I don't remind you, Sunday's my hardest working day. I remind you, sometimes I come to church, I don't feel like coming to church. Sometimes I'm sick. I remind you for the last 27, 28 years that we've gone soul winning. We didn't feel like going soul winning. That we've had church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night where not too many people showed up, and we didn't feel like opening the church doors, to be honest with you. There were some times we thought that, you know, we didn't know if this thing was going to last any longer. But I'll remind you that some of us are working double time on Sundays. That's why some people go soul winning on Sundays. And I'm not against if you're going to rest on Sunday. I'm not against that. I'm not mad. But the thinking is in today's society is, let's just relax on Sunday. Well, one other day are you going to bring visitors to church? You ask the people who drive our church buses when they show up at my house 8 o'clock in the morning or 8:30 in the morning when it's 10 degrees or 10 degrees below zero, if they're resting getting out of bed 7 o'clock in the morning just to get here to drive the church bus. Huh? Or the church van. Or getting here early to clean or turn the heat on or do the baptistry or the microphone when it works. Amen? See, what I'm saying is this kind of philosophy has seeped in, so we're not trying to reach souls anymore because we don't want to do it on the Sunday because it's the Lord's Sabbath, and we don't want to profane the Sabbath because they're getting their theology from Protestants who got it from Catholics. What better day is to bring a visitor to God's house than on a Sunday when we meet? Now, if it was Saturday, bring them Saturday. If it was Friday, bring them on a Friday. But those of us who are saved ought to do as much work as we possibly can. And by the way, it is a work getting the church, isn't it? Isn't it a work? You got to get up, get dressed, shower, shave sometimes, you know. Get the kids ready. That's a work. Those things are contrary to the Old Testament Sabbath where you're not supposed to do any work at home, any fire in your dwelling place. You're not allowed to pick up any burdens. You weren't supposed to pick up any sticks. Bless God. This afternoon, I'm going out in this woodshed. I'm going to bring in, my boys don't know this, but we're bringing a whole bunch of wood in because it's a nice warm day today, man. Forget the sticks, we're bringing logs in, amen, on Sunday. Of course, Matthew 24:20 says that the Sabbath will be reinstituted during the tribulation period for the Jews because the third temple is going to be rebuilt and they're going to start up the sacrifice of the animals again, and the Old Testament Sabbath is going to be reinstituted again in the end times. Take a Bible, turn to Romans chapter number 3, please. Romans 3. Romans 3. Remember, Sabbath is a day of rest from your work. Salvation is not a work. Remember that. Romans chapter number 3, verse number 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. I don't care who you are, you're not good. Look at verse number 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, verse 21, without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that what? Believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Chapter number 4, the last part of verse, chapter 3, verse 26 says that Jesus is the justifier of him that that believeth in Jesus. So he has justified us when we trusted in Jesus Christ. Chapter 4, verse number 2. For if Abraham were justified by what? Don't forget, I know Exodus 20 is the Ten Commandments, verse number 8 about the Sabbath, but I want to remind you that God instituted it in Genesis chapter number 2. For if Abraham were justified, and by the way, they were told the same thing when they were wandering in the wilderness before Exodus 20 with the manna. Remember, God said on 6 days you're going to work, but on the sixth day, you pick up twice as much manna. On the seventh day, don't pick up anything. That's what God told them in the wilderness before Exodus 20, verse number 8. Verse number 2, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If you're working for salvation, I don't care how you phrase it, flowery statements. If you're working, you're trying to keep it, you're not saved, man. You're still in debt. Verse number 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Aren't you glad that all God wants is our faith? Huh? Verse number 6. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. That's the Sabbath, ladies and gentlemen. Look at chapter number 6, verse 23. The Bible says the wages, you get paid for working, don't you? Well, you're going to get paid for sin too. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Hey, listen, some of these people who believe this kind of stuff that's contrary to the word of God, some of them, I believe, are honest and they have some zeal. I mean, they go to church on Saturdays, but it's not according to knowledge. They may be sincere, but sincerely wrong. They may be honest, but they're honestly wrong. You better find out what God says. Don't take what the preacher says, this preacher or any other preacher. You better find out what God says. Look at verse number 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Not at the cross, but when you believed. Because before you got saved, you thought that your good was going to outweigh your bad and that your works were going to be good enough to go to heaven because you never killed anybody, never robbed anybody, and you weren't that bad, and compared to everybody else, you were going to make it. That's what you thought before you got saved. But you broke the Sabbath. You didn't even realize it. And the punishment is death, eternal death and separation. Just like in the Old Testament, they stoned them to death. And if you didn't receive Jesus Christ your Savior, eternal punishment would have been in hell forever. Romans chapter 11, verse number 6. Look at this. And if by grace, that means, like Norberto said, I don't know, Sunday night or Wednesday night, he says, grace is God giving you something that you don't deserve. Right? That's heaven. That's salvation. Mercy is God not giving you what you do deserve, which is hell. And so he says here, if by grace, then is no more of works. It's not a work if you're saved. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. How can anybody say the statement, you're not really saved if A, B, or C? If you do any work on the Sabbath, you are condemned to be stoned. Just lighting a fire. And we don't have time this morning to go all the other verses in the Old Testament. Just carrying a burden. In and outside the gate, a small burden, just carrying it. Leaving your dwelling place more than 3,000 feet. I did. Today. But these people who say, well, you have to meet on Saturday because that's what the Old Testament says. Well, how come they don't obey all the other Old Testament verses then about it? Huh? Because people don't read their Bibles. Romans chapter number 11, verse number 32. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. Galatians chapter number 2, please. Verse number 16. The Bible says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Chapter 3, verse number 22, the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3, 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. How are you saved? The grace of God, ladies and gentlemen. The mercy of God. Matthew chapter number 11. Let's turn there, please. And by the way, Jesus mentioned every other commandment of the Ten Commandments except the Sabbath. What do you make of that one? Jesus mentioned all nine other commandments listed in Exodus 20. How come he never mentioned the Sabbath? Because he said, I am Lord of the Sabbath, he said. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Matthew chapter number 11. Verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus, come unto me, all ye that what? Labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what?
Rest.
The Sabbath is for rest, not for worship. Jesus said, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Verse 29, here's what he says. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find what? Rest unto your what? Souls. See, what you need is you need your soul to rest in Jesus Christ. Your body, my body, we're tired. The older you get, the more tired you get, amen? I don't know if that's proper English or not, but it's true, amen? You start to ache, your bones hurt. You can't see as well. Things that used to work don't work. Things that still work don't work as good as they used to work. You know, it's life. But when my soul is saved, hey, I'm complete in Jesus Christ. I have rested from my work, wondering and thinking, where am I going to go when I die? I have to do something for God. Maybe I need to go to church. Maybe I have to light some candles. Maybe I have to do some penance. Maybe I got to do this. Have I done enough? What is enough? Trusting Jesus Christ is all you need to do to be saved from hell. And you can rest in your soul from all your works. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's close with Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter number 4. And I'll pick it up here tonight, Hebrews chapter number 4. There is a rest, by the way, to the people of God. In other words, just like God, Colossians 1, created the heavens and the earth and rested after the 6 days of work, the same thing is true with 6,000 years of mankind's history on earth, and the final seventh year, the final seventh day, is the year, the 1,000 year of rest. Where we will rest in heaven, where we will rest in the kingdom of God from our works. Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 3. For we which have believed do enter into what? Is that what it says? I have the Sabbath. I believe in Jesus Christ. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his work. God does, look, you and I know God doesn't have to rest, but he did it for us. He did it for a principle to teach us. In the Old Testament, they did work physically 6 days, and they rested the seventh day, the Sabbath. For you and I, and for the Old Testament, they had to rest for their salvation from their works to get them saved. They had to rest in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, to get them saved, to be saved. Verse number 5. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of? They didn't believe. Oh, they were keeping the Sabbath. Those Pharisees, man, they were good about, you know, how far you had to go from the home and what you couldn't carry and what you couldn't do. They were really good. But they didn't believe. Again, verse 7. He limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If you're here this morning and you're not born again, ladies and gentlemen, don't harden your heart. Get saved. Just surrender and yield to God and say, dear God, I don't want to go to hell. Would you please save my soul? Please forgive me my sin. Spare my soul from hell. I know I deserve to go to hell, but I don't want to go. Please save me. Verse 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. I've ceased from my works for salvation. Yes, I'm working here. Yeah, Sunday's a very busy day for my wife and I. You better believe it. Very busy day for those who come in early. Very busy for those, you got to get ready. You have children getting ready, dragging them out. You know, slap them upside the head, be quiet, shut up. Throw them in the car seats, buckle them up, put duct tape on them. Very busy day for you, you know. I understand. That's not rest. Hey, when my kids, we had 6 children, they were young men. I'll tell you what, I got tired just looking at my wife taking all care of those 6 children, amen. But I've ceased from my works for salvation when I entered into Jesus Christ, into his rest. That's how you keep the Sabbath, ladies and gentlemen. That's how you obey the fourth commandment of keeping the Sabbath day holy to remember it. By having Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, I know a little different kind of a sermon this morning, but I believe a very important Bible study nonetheless. So often we get caught up in the world that we live in, the society that we live in, and even amongst religious circles that we tend to bump into, just the fact because we tend to gravitate to religious discussions, we hear so often about people who keep the Sabbath, supposedly, or meet on the Sabbath, supposedly, and why we ought to meet on Saturdays, not Sundays, and all the other trappings of religions and denominations that will take a verse or two out of context. My prayer is, dear God, as I said earlier, that these folks would read their Bibles on a daily basis to know what you said, not what man says. And I pray, dear God, this morning, if there's anybody in this room that's not saved, I pray, dear God, if there's anybody in this room that's been working for their salvation, they think they've been trying to be good enough. Lord, I hope they'll realize they'll never be good enough to go to heaven. The only way to go to heaven is realizing that Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath, and that we need to rest from our works and trust the blood of Jesus Christ to save our souls. Bless, dear Holy Spirit of God, speak to our hearts. Bless this invitation. If somebody's saved and they've not been baptized, I pray they get baptized. If somebody's not saved, I pray they'll come forward and get saved this morning. Whatever the need is, I pray that you meet it. Meet with us, dear Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, you do business with God.